with you, please turn to Philemon. If you don't know where that's at, it's after the Timothys and Titus and right before Hebrews. But I don't want to keep you guys too long. I know we're all Cowboys fans here. Amen. Amen. Cowboys fans, yesterday, you guys watched that game? Woo. Blood pressure was up in the stands. But I was reading Philemon a couple weeks ago, and it just stuck out to me, struck me deep in just the way that Paul's writing and just the love and whole part of the letter. So pray that this letter can strike you the same way it did me, and hopefully just urge you to read it more for yourself and dive deeper into it. But hopefully I can give you a few points to go off of, maybe. I'm new at this. You guys bear with me. But let's start reading in Philemon verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and that we can look at it to the key of life and eternal life, Lord, and that we don't have to worry about struggles of this world or what we should do in situations, Lord, but that we can just turn to your word and that you've laid it out for us. I just thank you for allowing us to travel here safely, Lord, and pray for safe travels home. I just thank you for Garden Grove and the church and the congregation in it, Lord, that they would their continued support and prayers for us, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless the church and bless Brother Matt and everybody here. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you guys know who Jordan Peterson is? Ever heard of podcast guy? All right, I'm running on fumes here. But anyway, Jordan Peterson, famous in maybe my generation, older guy, podcast, supposedly be one of the wisest guys of our generation, has a huge following. But anyway, he interviewed on his podcast John Rich, which, if you're familiar with country music, is part of Big and Rich. But he broke away, got dropped from the record label, or broke away from the record label. I don't really know. But he wrote a song called Revelation, about revelation of the Bible, and didn't have any record deal, no label, just put it on YouTube, and it blew up. And it was like top five in all genres with some other guy's rap album. Anyway. But so Jordan Peterson wanted him on there so they could talk about it. And as this interview goes on, you see the shift in Jordan's attitude and also John's. Jordan writes books about the Bible, read it just as a philosophist, really. Nobody really knows if he's Christian or not. So towards the end of this interview, about the last 20 minutes, if you want to go look at it for yourself, which I very strongly recommend, John Rich, Jordan Peterson interview. John just says, hey, I'm on your interview, but can I ask you some questions? Like this, and he quoted him from something 5 years ago, and was talking about how he was terrified of if the Bible is true about what it says about Christ. And they just start talking and talking, and after he finally presses him enough, Jordan kind of just like shuts down the interview. He says, well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. But I say this because it's interesting and definitely worth the research. But John was just preaching truth to him, giving him everything, every nugget that he could. And it was definitely, towards the end, definitely called him out. And it was a hard conversation to have, especially you know, there's millions of people watching it, and point this out for the hard conversation, the uncomfortable ones, and just that it's okay for us to have hard conversations too. And whether it's John Rich or like we're going to look at Paul writing to Philemon, and just awkward conversations with the lost people, wherever we're at, other believers and brothers in Christ, and that there's no growth in your comfort zone. And that's definitely one thing that we can learn at MBSF, and especially in your own lives and here at Garden Grove, is that there's no growth in comfort. Whenever you're lifting the same weight, same reps, your body ain't really getting anything out of it if you're never sore. You're not growing the muscle, but you got to tear the muscle for it to grow back and grow more. And we must tear away our barriers in order to grow closer to Christ spiritually. So, already read Philemon, whole letter. Paul's in prison, and he meets Onesimus while he's there, and he's just Paul's writing back to Philemon, saying, "Hey, thank my God for you always in my prayers, and your brother in Christ. Thankful for you, love you. But I got my buddy Onesimus here, and I want to send him back to you, but not as a bondservant, as Onesimus once was to Philemon, but as a brother in Christ, and that through the bringing back of them together, that the church would be edified, and that God would be glorified through that." And some people say, like, maybe Onesimus did Philemon wrong, because that's why, like, he ran away. And we see, where's it at? Talking about, Paul says, if he owes you anything, or verse 18, he says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. And but all throughout we see that he's just appealing on behalf of Onesimus and writing to Philemon as a brother who he loves and one that he has faith in, that he would carry it out, as he later writes. But something that stuck out to me was that while he was in prison and he was writing Philippians, Colossians, all these other letters to the churches, that he took time to write to Philemon and that his letter made it into the Word of God. And I think we can heed something from that, the importance of it, and whenever we look at the letter. Wrote to him to, for Paul to refresh his own heart in Christ. He talks about that later on whenever Paul says that, Philemon, I know you're going to do this, and I pray that you do it to refresh my heart in Christ. Just struggling in the prison. He wrote it to express his thankfulness and his love towards Philemon. And on behalf of Onesimus, plead with Philemon to accept him back as a beloved brother and not as a bondservant. And much like John Rich in the interview, Paul kind of likes to push the envelope a little bit. It kind of butters him up a little bit, but is honest in the beginning in verses 4 through 7 and telling him he's a brother in Christ and that he's sharing of his faith is effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Right after that, he's talking about how if Philemon considers Paul his partner, that he would receive Onesimus as he would receive Paul. And that's a big favor to ask, because Paul and Philemon, they're buddies, best friends, brothers in Christ. But he has a little bit of beef with Onesimus and did him wrong, didn't stick to his word, ran away, bond servant, and a stark contrast in how we would treat them or respond, especially just our human nature says to do otherwise, to get vengeance. But Like I say, it's in verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul has faith in Philemon that he would not look at the differences between him and Onesimus or where he wronged him in the past, but that he would forgive him and welcome him back in and even do more than Paul asked him to do. And I think we can see the true friendship in that as Paul reaches out to Philemon truthfully and humbly, and the way that Philemon responds and or knowing how he would respond, showing true friendship. And it's tough pills to swallow, but the pride and the differences aside, and they work together to advance the kingdom and the love, and they could edify the church wherever they were at and go and make more disciples rather than break away their bond as brothers in Christ. Put bro before foe. Focus on the brotherhood. Thanks God for him. But it's not just the vain thankfulness, just a maybe an empty gesture, but thanking him for his kingdom work and knowing that he doesn't also just have faith and love towards Christ, but to the saints also. And maybe that's why he wrote to him on behalf of Onesimus, because you know it wasn't just a selfish love for himself and love for Christ, but that he has love and compassion for the saints also. And openness of faith, which I think is only right for MBSF to be here and us sharing our faith with other believers in our small groups, but also on campus in evangelism, is mostly what I try to harp on when I'm out there telling them how Christ changed my life, because they can respond a lot better to that than me saying, here's John 3:16, this is what you need to do. But show them practical ways that it's impacted me, what my life was before Christ and how I live now. I always try to get in a little bit of Greek whenever Brendan comes with me. So if you would look in verse 7 with me to the bowels. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. The bowels is talking about maybe in the later times of the Hebrew culture, it was the seed of more violent passions, anger, but in other cultures, is violent passions, but in Hebrew culture, it's the seed of the more tender affections, kindness, benevolence, compassion, hearts that have tender mercies. And I think if we look at that and see what all is surrounding it, use context clues. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. That we be encouraged by that, and not just encouraged and go to sleep and forget it, but that we would act on it, and we would have faith that the Lord would be with us whenever we go, and maybe we need to refresh another brother's hearts for the saint, or maybe that's what we need in our own lives. And giving God the glory, not that we had a light bulb go off in our light that we needed to get something right, but that we would look at the Word and that the Holy Spirit would convict us of what we need to get right with. Maybe it's God, maybe it's a brother in the church or out of the church. I'm preaching to myself just the same. Something that like to hold grudges or just let bygones be bygones. But in the same time, it's not. There's no growing if there's no forgiveness, and you still hold that weight against them, or maybe they just tick you off. I mean, it's not a way to live as a brother in Christ, especially towards another brother that you're working with or working in the kingdom with. So that would be my challenge, is just to have the hard conversations and know that there's every situation and every disciple, every evangelism, ourselves, we're all different. And it's not always going to look the same. I think that's something that we can all say, is that it's something we've had to learn. I think the same thing is going to work every time, but that's very not true. And I think we'll never realize that the one thing that is right every time is God and His Word. And we look to that, turn to Him, and He would give us the words to speak and the courage to go have the hard conversations and be able to refresh another brother in Christ or be refreshed ourselves, and that we don't have to carry that weight anymore. Like Hebrews 12 talks about, lay aside every weight and sin that easily so easily besets us. It's not just a sin, but it's a weight, and it doesn't have to be sin. So that would be my challenge to you and to myself and all of us at MBSF. Easy as the semester goes on to have divisions amongst ourselves and grow the ministry apart or become cliquish, and which divides the ministry. Have people talking about people. And so, like I said, I'm preaching just as much as me and everybody here. Yeah, that's all I got.